years,
I have been to India last year.
You were?
Yes.
And do you also... Bernard Gabriel speaking. How much music is there in meditation? Is it possible to attain a state of consciousness in which music and silence shimmer and fade, and it becomes difficult for a listener to tell whether he is hearing music or just feeling meditation? Well, my guest, East Indian guru Sri Chinmoy, insists that this is so, and he apparently proves it in his many concerts in various parts of the world and also at the United Nations in New York City. Guru Sri Chinmoy says, "I am not the musician, I am just the instrument. I am like a piano, violin, or guitar, and it is God who is constantly playing on me, in me, and through me. God himself is the supreme musician." Guru Sri Chinmoy, tell me a little bit more about this and what happens at some of your concerts, would you?
In most of the concerts, I try to become an instrument of my inner pilot. I play on the astras. It is an Indian instrument, but to tell the truth, it is I who consciously and devotedly try to become an instrument of my inner pilot, who is the supreme musician.
Well, now, do you play, do you just improvise constantly? Do you play music that you've written down?
Most of the time, I play the music that I have composed.
Well, exactly. I mean, as we would play in Western music, a composition that, you know, in which we do not change any of the notes, it's written and people interpret it.
In my case also,
yes.
I am devoted and faithful to my original music.
You are. But it is not written?
It is written.
Oh, it is written down.
It is.
I see. You do not improvise then?
No, I do not improvise.
Ah.
On very rare occasion I improvise, otherwise most of the time I play the original music, and my students also do the same.
You play on the Esraj, but I understand that you also play other instruments, like an alto flute?
I'm jack of all trades, master of none.
And a cello?
Yes.
A Western cello?
Western cello. I play on the violin, but my favorite instrument is the Indian Esraj.
And do you perform any compositions of other people, or is this all your own, of your coming from your own mind or from God? Or,
No, sometimes I do play compositions from other great composers, especially Indian composers.
And you say that you feel that this music is not really your own, that it doesn't come from your own brain, but that you are in a state of consciousness in which God directs you or gives his music to you and uses you as an instrument. Am I stating this correctly, or you better tell me exactly your conviction about this?
I am a seeker. I pray and meditate, and I try to become receptive in all that I do. So when I play any music, I try to become a good and perfect instrument of my inner pilot, who is the supreme musician. And according to my inner receptivity, he plays in and through me.
Do you ever sing as well, or is this all instrumental?
Oh no, I sing. I have sung hundreds of songs.
Have you?
Yes. There are about 12 records. Go to my credit.
You were kind enough to bring an Esraj down, and I want to hear you please play something, give us an idea of your music a little later. And that, I must say, is a magnificent stringed Indian instrument that many of us have been familiar with other Indian musicians who've come to our shores. But first, I would like to ask you a little bit about the appellation guru. Now, that's a term, an appellation, a name that I think most everybody in the Western world is familiar with, but I'm not so sure that we understand exactly what this connotes. So perhaps you would tell us, what is a guru?
Oh, thank you. It is a very simple question. Guru is a Sanskrit word. It means a teacher who illumines his students. He who illumines the mind, unlit mind of his student, is a guru.
Well, how does one become a guru? Just by studying?
By studying books. It is, of course, it is an inner study, by praying and meditating, by invoking the presence from above, and also to want us to bring to the fore one's inner aspiring consciousness. And then eventually one becomes qualified to be of service to the Supreme in mankind. The real Guru is God Himself, but a seeker who gets illumination on the strength of his inner cry after a long time, he is entitled to serve the seekers, these fellow brothers, fellow human beings, eventually. So that person is a guru.
Well, may I ask you, who decides whether a person is a guru or not? Is this something that you just decide to call yourself, or has, you know, someone else?
It depends on the individual. Sometimes the masters, spiritual masters, when they see their students are qualified to teach others, then they allow their students to play the role of a guru. And again, if somebody does not have a master, spiritual master, but he has received an inner command from within, from his inner pilot, then he is entitled to play the role of a guru.
I wish you'd tell us a little about your early years in India. You came to this country about 12 or 13 years ago?
I came to this country in 1964. I came here in 1964 following an inner command. I was born in Bengal, India, and I was brought up in South India, and there for 20 years I practiced yoga, which is conscious union with God. Then in 1964, I got an inner command to come to the West and serve the Supreme in the sincere seekers of the West.
It's interesting, is it not, that in recent years we've had several people from, shall we say, the Orient, who've come here apparently with the same idea. They all seem to think the West is in pretty bad shape, and I guess it is. Things are pretty bad in the West, would you say? People have felt a need to come here and give us the light.
I have no right to say about others.
Yes.
I used to say what I did and what I am doing and what I shall be doing. I am at the express command of my inner pilot. For me, there is no such thing as East and West. And when I will not say that the West needs more spirituality than the East, far from it. Only I will say this much, that I shall be a sincere and devoted server no matter where my inner pilot directs me. So it is like two houses, East and West. And now my inner pilot has asked me to be of service to him in the West. Tomorrow he may ask me to go back to India and be service to him in the East.
Yeah, of course you're speaking of the West, but you really mean this country, don't you? You don't mean Europe, you don't mean England, do you?
Yes, I mean, because I go to Europe.
Oh, do you?
Almost every year I go to Europe. There again I offer my dedicated service to the European seekers.
So it isn't only this country then?
No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. You have disciples?
I have disciples all over the world, and I go to Europe almost every year.
Well, now, while you are a musician, as I've mentioned, and as I hope we are soon to hear, I know that you have created, and in prodigious amounts, poems and pictures of various kinds and sizes. I was absolutely staggered by some of the numbers of these. I think that pictures mentioned in some of the literature that was sent me, you have various pictures, and didn't really describe them at all, but it mentioned that they ran into over 100,000. Can this be possible? And I wish, if so, will you please tell me a little more about that?
Well, to be very frank with you, I'm the last person to believe it. But when you live in the mind, there is something called impossibility. But when you remain in the heart, there is no such thing as impossibility. Heart is trying constantly to be one with the source. And the source is always unlimited and fathomless. So in my case, my aspiring heart wants always to be one with the source and to please the source.
Mm-hmm.
So when I compose something or I paint something, I do something, I remain always in a meditative mood, consciousness. As I said before, I try to become a humble instrument of my inner pilot. So according to my inner capacity, inner receptivity, my inner pilot acts in and through me. Therefore, it is possible, it has been possible for me to do these things.
Did I exaggerate when I said that you have more than 100,000 paintings?
Yes.
No, are they paintings or pictures?
They are paintings, most abstract paintings, over 100,000 paintings in 11 months.
Well, do you have time for anything else?
I go to the United Nations twice a week.
And well, you must paint.
Every week.
You must paint with such speed, it's perfectly incredible.
Yes. One day I think I did over 16,000 paintings.
Oh, now, how is this conceivable?
And there are at least 30 eyewitnesses. And so it is, again, I said, if you can become.
Does it take you a second or two to do a painting, or what?
Sometimes it's a few seconds. The other day I did my largest painting. It took me 2.5 hours, but it is my largest painting. I do not remember the actual size. It is.
But you know, one thinks of people from the East as being more relaxed and doing things more slowly than perhaps people in the West. And here you are going like lightning. I mean, it's perfectly incredible. Also, poems now, this runs into the many hundreds too, doesn't it?
I have written, many thousands.
Many thousands of poems?
Yes.
You don't sleep, of course. You work all night. I sleep,
but 893 poems, by God's grace, I composed in one day. So it is, I just become an instrument. I try to become a sincere, devoted instrument. When one becomes an instrument, there is no such thing as impossibility for God.
I'm afraid to ask you how many musical works you've composed. Millions?
I think over 2,000 I've composed Bengali and English.
Gosh, I'm thinking right now, you know, of a composer like Richard Wagner, or Puccini. I think Puccini has about 12 or 13 or 14 works. Of course, they're long operas, to his credit, and Wagner with his music dramas, and they do go on for a few hours, but a life's work, you know, in about four or five, six, a few more than that.
In my case, to be absolutely honest with you, I do not aim at a number.
Yes.
I only long to become an instrument. It is the choice of my inner pilot. If he wants to create in and through me hundreds and thousands of paintings or compose hundreds and thousands, this I leave
where
it
are
up
most
to
of
him.
These yes where are most of these works the paintings now?
They're in Jamaica, Queens.
In Jamaica, all of them?
I live in Jamaica.
Not in museums? And
no. They're not, but sometimes we do exhibit our paintings.
Well, you know, I came across a picture of you with a stack of your books. You've written about 300 books or more also, I know. And a picture with you with this huge stack of books beside you and Mayor Beam. I think you're shaking hands. And you were advising Mayor Beam to indulge in Beam, that is in New York City. You were advising him to indulge in meditation rather than cogitation and worry and whatever he does to try and solve our difficult problems here in New York. Did he follow your advice? You think? I don't think so.
It was my soulful prayer to him, because we know there is only one way to solve not only New York's problems but the world problems, and that way is to prayer and meditation.
Well, before you will be so kind as to play something for us on the Esraj, let me just read a few comments from important people and important publications about you. May I do that? Well, from the Saturday Review, I quote, in Sri Chinmoy's words, I found much to learn and apply. And from, of all people, Muhammad Ali, he says, I admire you. I see you as a great, great man. As, from Pablo Casals. Now, this is enough to stagger anyone. I am most grateful to you for the most wonderful moment of my life. And I think you better tell us how this came about. Where was it? How did this happen?
This momentous interview took place in Puerto Rico. And Pablo Casals was kind enough to grant me an interview which lasted for 3.5 hours. And
about how long ago was this?
about...
Shortly before he passed?
Yes, only 2 years before his departure.
And you spoke to him about your work and all, and he was so impressed?
He was moved, and he was on his own. He played for me.
He did?
And
I bet it was Bach,
and
wasn't it?
Yes, so right. And then I meditated with him. And
I see.
And he was deeply moved. He was shedding soulful tears while I was meditating with him. And while he was playing, I was meditating. And we had the most soulful conversation, which lasted for 3.5 hours.
Well, now, Kurt Waldheim has said this: "You are praying for peace. I know what you are doing for us. I know it. I can feel it." And that leads me to ask you about your work at the United Nations. What are you doing there, Sri Chinmoy? And then I do want to hear you play.
Twice a week, I go to the United Nations and hold soulful meditations for the delegates, diplomats, and the general staff. As a matter of fact, I came here to your place from the United Nations. And today, I happen to answer 7 most significant questions asked by a very high-ranking official who is an advisor to the permanent missions of the U.S. So I answered 7 questions. Sometimes the delegates and the staff ask me questions on spirituality connected with the UN principles. And then we pray and meditate more soulfully in silence.
And do you have many who join you?
Yes, over 100.
Over 100?
Over 100.
Well, I've been mentioning from time to time that you were kind enough to bring the Esraj with you, and that you said you'd be kind enough to play for us. So
thank
I'm looking forward to that. So I think this is already tuned for you,
yes.
Sri Chinmoy. And would you just tell us, what are you going to play? I don't necessarily mean the name of it, but what nature is this piece?
Right now I shall play a song, a musical piece. I shall invoke the presence of the soul. I am requesting the soul of the inner bird, I call it, to come to the fore and guide my outer life.
Well, I'm looking forward to hear that. I believe, Sri Chinmoy, that you have some very special ideas as to the difference between Eastern and Western music. And I had the impression that you felt that the music that comes through you was perhaps on a higher plane than a good deal of Western music. Now, I don't know if my interpretation is correct. Perhaps you tell us what your convictions are.
I shall never dare to say that the music that I play comes from a higher source or it is more illumining than the music that is produced in the West. Only this much I can say, that when I play the music, I offer my heart and soul to the music itself, and also I try my utmost to become receptive. My music is in the heart and for the heart, and not in the vital and not for the mind. So here I do not want to make any comparison between my music and Western music. Only this much I can say, the seeker in me tries to aspire all the time in and through music. Here, when I play, it is not an excitement of the vital for the vital. But when I play, I try to become as much as possible devoted to my own supreme cause.
What do you feel about the great Western composers, Beethoven, for example?
I have a deep admiration for them. I have deep admiration for them. Only the present Western music, and say rock and roll and other music.
Yes, I find about it, that?
I find it very difficult to appreciate. My ignorance does not permit me to appreciate it. But in no way I am criticizing it. But I find it difficult to enter into the depth of that music.
You know, I talk with a great many Japanese musicians who've come over here and been wonderful in Western music, and they tell me that the Western music is much more popular in Japan than any native Japanese music. And I was wondering about India. Is that also the case? In other words, sheet music, you know, of the great composers, I'm not thinking now of popular music, sells much better in Japan than it does in this country. And these Japanese pianists and string quartet people and so on tell me that Western music, that is the music which is loved in Japan and not the native music. And I was wondering, I haven't heard much about India. Is Western music greatly appreciated there, or isn't it the same situation?
Western music is well appreciated in India by those who are trying to become ultra-modern musicians. Ultra-modern musicians like Western music, but those who want to follow India's traditional music, who want to remain faithfully devoted to their traditional music, find it difficult to appreciate Western music.
So it's not the same situation then Japan. I'd like to know a little about your musical studies in India. You actually had to study how to play the esraj and the other instruments that you play.
As a matter of fact, in India, I did not practice esraj. In India, I used to sing, and I had three good teachers who taught me how to sing. It is in the West, it is in America, that I developed the capacity from within to play music.
You know, when I talked with both Ali Akbar Khan and Ravi Shankar, we spoke a good deal about the Indian raga. And with those experts, I never quite understood precisely what a raga is. Maybe you can enlighten me and perhaps some of the listeners too, so that we get really an idea of what a raga is. By the way, do you incorporate any of them in your music?
No, I do not incorporate.
Well, tell us what it really is, because I have sleepless nights.
I am not an authority from it on Indian ragas. Only those two, Ali Akbar and Ravi Shankar, are supreme authorities on this subject. Here I have to betray my own ignorance. I play according to my inner mood. So according to the inspiration that I receive either from within or from above. So I am not entitled.
Do you even tell me what it is?
It is only each raga inspires us. It is a mood, it is a state of our consciousness. Now when we play music, we invoke the consciousness from within to elevate human life, to elevate the listeners here. So now again, if we pray and meditate, from our prayer and meditation, we get soulful music which immediately inspires and illumines the listeners.
I believe you said that there was no relationship between your philosophy, your religious beliefs, and the Reverend Moon or, other Oriental religious people who've come over to the Maharish and so on. Am I right about that?
Yes,
that
sir.
Yours is completely different or in its concepts, beliefs?
Mine is totally different from their approaches. And at the same time, I used to say, I never dare to say mine is the correct approach and theirs is the wrong approach, incorrect approach.
But it's different.
No, it is a different approach.
Just in case anybody should want to get in touch with you for any reason, I suppose you can be reached at the United Nations?
Yes, sir.
And that's SRI, Sri Chinmoy, Chinmoy. And I'm just wondering, could we go off the air with some more of your music sort of ringing in our ears? Could we do that?
Certainly.
What might we hear now? And this is going to also be on the SRI.
Yes. This will be another soulful song. Oh Lord, do not forget me. I may forget you because of my ignorance, but you are all compassion, so please do not forget me.
I'd love to hear that. Gabriel, appreciating the opportunity of talking and listening to Sri Chinmoy, East Indian guru and musician. And as always, I wish all a most musical week. Ah, did it.